Hey everyone, just taking a quick 15 seconds to let you know that my new book, The Fitness Mindset, Eat for Energy, Train for Attention, Manage Your Mindset, and Reap the Results, which hit the bestseller list within 24 hours of its release, is now available to buy on Amazon. So if you're looking for everything you need to get into incredible shape and the mindset to keep it forever, be sure to check it out. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this week's episode.
You're listening to the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where Irish fitness entrepreneur Brian Keane answers your questions and interviews leaders in the world of fitness, health, mindset, and natural wellness to share tips about all things that can support you on your journey to becoming the best version of yourself and build a bulletproof mindset to get whatever you want out of life. Come join the fun.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is a Q&A that I pulled from my Instagram and my Snapchat, so definitely check out those platforms if you ever want to send in any questions to the podcast. My Snapchat, BrianK019, I try and open it up every day during the week for a Q&A, and my Instagram, Brian Keane Fitness, I try and do the same with Instagram Live Q&As every day, so be sure to check out both those platforms. So, first question comes in from Kieran Cassidy on Instagram. I watch all of your workouts and you never really do abs. How do you maintain a six pack all year? Okay, so a couple of answers to this one. For me right now, it's one of the things, the examples that I use with getting a six pack is basically similar to getting in shape in general. It's kind of like pushing a tire up a hill. It's very, very hard and takes a lot of effort to push that tire up a hill. But when you get it to the top, it's very easy to hold it there. And getting abs and getting a six pack is the same. It's pretty difficult getting your body fat low enough and building the muscle around your core and your abs to get a six pack, but it's a lot easier to hold it there, particularly when you've got it the right way and you've built in good habits around your training and your nutrition. So it's a lot easier to hold it there. That's why people that come through my programs, my top 50 program or GEA lean body program in particular, whenever they get a six pack, they hold it from that time on and never really lose it, because you're building the habits and you're building the nutritional strategies and you're building the training systems in place that are going to allow you to keep it long term, even when you're being a lot more lenient with your training and with your diet. So there's a couple of reasons why I've been able to maintain a six pack all year. One is down to the fact that I prioritized it massively when I started training first, and primarily when I started to seriously train first. I started lifting weights at 13, I joined a gym at 16, I started seriously training at 19. So 5-6 days a week, every single day, doing different splits and different training programs and really focusing heavy on my training for the last 10 years. And probably from the age of 19 to 22, 23, I used to have ab days where I would go in and I would train abs as an actual day. Personally, I don't advise doing that, and I don't do it with people that come through my programs because it's not the most effective way, but it's what I did personally. What I do in my programs, and say my top 50 program in particular, there's a cardio and abs day. So you're going in and you're doing your cardio, but you're also doubling it over with high quality ab training. One of the biggest mistakes I made when trying to get a six pack first and really trying to hone the shape in my abs, and this goes the same for girls that are trying to flatten out their stomach, is focusing on quantity and not quality on my workouts. So I thought you just did 1,000 sit-ups and that would give you a six pack. And what happens when you start doing crazy amount of reps is, one, your form goes out the window and you don't end up working your abs anyway. You end up working your neck or your traps or different other body parts to shift your weight up. So you're not actually hitting your core and your abs with high quality movements. That was probably the biggest mistake I made initially. After that, then I didn't understand that hitting it from different angles and combining different movements like contraction movements like sit-ups or crunches or bicycle crossovers, which are my personal favorites, with some form of isometric like a plank or a Swiss ball plank or a rollout, that is one of the key shortcuts for building abs faster, provided that your body fat is low enough that you're able to see them. The truth is, the majority of people, 80-90%, with the exception of the genetic few that don't have abs, will have abs underneath layers of fat. It's just a case of getting body fat down low enough so that you can see them. What I do right now is, because my training intensity stays so high, and I do a lot of metabolic conditioning, before I was training for the Marathon de Sable, which is the 256-kilometer self-sufficient run race through the Sahara Desert next year, and I've been doing a lot more runs and a lot more cardio, trying to condition my body and my mind for that. Up until this point, I did a lot more metabolic conditioning, high intensity work, plyometric circuits, different things that were effectively in my GA lean body program, because it allows you to stay lean, it allows you to stay athletic, it allows you to improve performance, and it allows you to build muscle or lose body fat depending on the nutritional strategy you're following. So for me, as long as my training intensity stayed high and I was able to focus on those compound movements, your squats, your sumo glute deadlifts, your pull-ups, your rows, movements that are all going to engage your core, I was able to hold, and I can hold that six pack provided my body fat stays down low enough through keeping my nutrition clean all year and making sure that my training program has a high intensity aspect to it, so again that I'm burning more calories during my workout. In terms of doing direct ab work, I still do a little bit of it, and for those of you who are on my Snapchat, you'll see that I'll add in a lot of functional ab workouts. So Swiss ball rollouts or round the pot workout variations on a Swiss ball, or some variation of a push-up that is in a spider variation where you're bringing your knee up to your elbow, so you're getting core and ab engagement as well. I'm not just doing hundreds and hundreds of sit-ups, because that's not the most time-efficient way to get your abs, in my opinion. By all means, it can work, and it can give you a little bit of shape, and if your body fat's low enough, it'll definitely help chisel your abs a little bit, but it's just not the most effective dose in terms of time. So the reason I've been able to maintain it is a combination of good nutritional plan, making my training intensity high, and the fact that I have a lot of muscle maturity in my abs from years and years of doing it, and then making sure that I'm doing a little bit of compound movement, or I'm doing a little bit of Swiss ball work, or a little bit of isometric work at times, contractions and crunches, but it's just not the main focus of my training. So my advice for anyone looking to get a six pack is, look at your nutrition first, make sure your body fat is low enough around your stomach so that you can see your abs, and then after that, make sure that you're prioritizing your metabolic conditioning, your training program, your compound lifts, so you're getting your core activated, and then build in your recovery, or then build in your ab strategy on top of that. So anyone coming through my top 50 program, for example, that's really trying to build their six pack, they're gonna do a really high quality ab and cardio day on one of their training days so that they're able to hone and shape and chisel their abs. The same as people in my GA lean body program, there's a lot of direct core work in there because you're obviously, as an athlete, a lot of your power is coming from your glutes, your hips, and your core, so that region needs to be strong. So it nearly ends up being a byproduct that when your nutrition is good and you're a GA athlete, you end up getting a six pack just by the fact that your training program is so intense, focusing on core work. So best advice would be, make sure the nutrition is good, make sure you have a good training program based on everything that's in your specific goals, and then prioritize building your abs and core around the different training sections that you're doing and build it into your strategy overall. Okay, next question comes in from Charlie McPartland on Instagram. How do your programs work? Is it videos, information, etc.? I always thought I'd need someone physical to do personal training. So I'll talk through a little bit on how my programs work, and then I'll talk through the pros and the cons of working with an online trainer, working with a one-to-one trainer, or coming through a program or whatever variation, then finding what works best for you. For me, how my programs work, and my Top 50 program and my GA Lean Body program, my GA Youth program are very, very similar in terms of they're based around each person's specific goals. So there's different variations of the program. So if you're a GA footballer trying to build muscle and get faster, you're going to be doing a completely different program to a girl or a bikini girl who's trying to look better for a holiday and lose body fat and tone up her stomach. So your program, your training, nutritional strategy, your supplement guide is all going to be completely different based on your specific goals, and there's different variations in each program. So how mine work is you get everything that's geared towards your goal. So for example, if you are a guy looking to build muscle and lose body fat, or a girl looking to lose body fat and tone up, your training program is going to be geared towards that. Your nutritional plan is going to be geared towards that, and your supplement guide is going to be geared towards that. And then there's all video automation that you can download into your phone that you can clip through, and it's going to show you a video clip of every exercise and exactly how to do it. I then have intro videos for everything, a training intro video for each version of the plan that talks you through everything in the training program, and then all the video links of every exercise that you click on through, so that you literally just take your phone with you to the gym, or your iPad with you to the gym, or your tablet, and you click through, and then after a week you're like, okay, that's exactly how I perform those movements, that's the form, that's the rep raise, that's the tempo, and you have it all in front of you to download on your phone. The same as in your nutritional strategy. You've got options of following the exact nutritional strategy that's there. Everything is calculated, your calories, your macros, your spacings, your meal timings, then the shopping list and recipes that you can sub directly in. And then you have options of building it with me and my coach Emma in the Top 50 program particularly, where we build a nutritional plan with you so we find what works best for you. And the supplement guide is very, very similar. And then how effectively the program works is you're working with me and my coach Emma through the 6, 8, 12 weeks, depending on what variation of the programs you're doing, and you're checking in every week. I'm chatting to you Monday to Friday, and we're making sure that we're tailoring everything towards you, your specific goals for your schedule if you end up getting an injury, and everything tweaks and changes towards you. I've spoken in other podcasts in the past that one of my mentors said to me before that the key long-term success to business is being able to scale the unscalable. And that's effectively how I've been very, very fortunate to grow my business over the last 6, 8, 12, 16 months, is scaling the unscalable. So now the programs and the clients I'm working with, you would never know that there was a few hundred people a month coming through those programs. You would think you were the only one because of we're able to get back Monday to Friday. You have constant contact with me and my coaches that gets checked every 24 hours. You've got direct feedback to me on any questions that Emma can answer, and then I dictate back the answers. And if you have an injury, we tailor your training program. If you have an intolerance for food, we tailor the nutritional program. If you have different preferences, and we tailor it to you. It's down to scaling the unscalable. That is basically my business model, and trying to provide as much value to the people that are coming through my programs as physically possible. So when I do this kind of podcast and videos, I'm trying to provide as much value to people as I can. I try and 10x that completely for people coming through my programs. So that's effectively how mine works. But in terms of whether you'd be better with a one-to-one trainer or coming through my program or any online coach, because there's some amazing online coaches out there, it's very much going to be down to reverse engineering you and what works best for you. Some people will work tremendously well coming through an online program and working with the likes of me and my coach Emma, or an equivalent of another trainer who's very, very hands-on, where you're able to check in every week, and any questions you have, you're able to get back and forth and tailor things to you. That works tremendously well for the people that will come through our program, come through my programs, and again, equivalent with other trainers. However, there are certain people that are just going to feel better going to somebody physically every single week. And if you're that person, you're going to be way better going to a one-to-one trainer. The best advice I can offer is always on every trainer you work with, that includes me, that includes one-to-one trainers in your gym, that includes other online coaches, is do your due diligence. Check out their before and afters. Talk to people who came through their program. Check out the testimonies on them, because that's a finding out who's going to be the best fit for you, because I may not be the best fit for you. I may not be the best person for you. And the same as the trainer in your gym, you may be better to switch gyms to go to another one-to-one trainer you have a better one-to-one fit with. What it's going to be down to finding is how you work best and how you want to work. People coming through online programs tend to have everything in hand, and they don't need somebody kind of guiding them through from the very, very beginner. If you're somebody that's going from a couch to the gym for the very, very first time, you may find it way better going to a one-to-one trainer who puts you at ease and shows you exactly how to do everything and eases your anxiety joining the gym first. However, if you're somebody that's good at what they're doing and just needs the exact guide and needs the accountability and needs to be able to change the recipes and needs to be able to change the training program around your specific injuries, then going to an online trainer who's very, very knowledgeable in their area is going to work very, very well for you. There is no right or wrong. There is no amazing, this is the best program everyone should do and this is going to work tremendously well for everybody on the planet, because if that was the case, there'd only be one personal trainer out there, or there'd only be one one-to-one coach out there or online coach out there, and everybody would go to that person. That's not the case. It's finding what works best for you. That may not be me. That may not be your trainer in the gym. So do your due diligence on it, and then find out who's going to be the best fit for you. Is it going to be one of my programs? Is it going to be one of the online programs of some other influencer or fitness person or business that you follow? Is it going to be the one-to-one trainer that's in your gym? Or is it going to be the one that's in two cities down that you've got to travel 40 minutes to go to once or twice a week? Find out who's going to be the best fit for you, and then double down with them. And then as long as you're getting results and you're moving forward, it doesn't matter what direction you get it from. It doesn't doesn't matter if you're coming through my program, doesn't matter if you're doing my free workouts, doesn't matter if you're coming through Joe Wicks or the Body Coach or Ben Coomer or Jamie Alderton or whoever's program you're on, it doesn't matter who you're coming through. If it's working for you and you're getting and becoming the best version of you and you're finding a nutrition strategy that works for you and a training program that you're responding to, then double down on that because you've already found what works. So do your due diligence and then find what works best for you. Okay, next question comes in from Blahine92. Are BCAAs worth the money? Okay, so any supplement you buy, I never base anything I buy, supplements, seminars, books, or events, or anything off price. I base everything off the value. Am I going to get the value back on this? So when I buy a seminar or an event or a book or whatever it is, am I getting that amount of value back? Branched chain amino acids and supplements in general are very, very similar. If you've got a terrible diet and you're not following a training program that's in alignment with your goals, BCAAs are going to be a massive waste of money, and so will every other supplement you spend your money on. But if you have a great training program and nutritional strategy that's based towards your specific goals, then certain supplements are going to massively move you to the next level. And it's something that is a little bit of a misconception that, well, this supplement is the best one. You should take this fat burner, or you should take this mass gain, or you should take this supplement because it works for everybody. It's going to be down to filling in the gaps and supplementing back in what you're missing in your nutritional strategy. So BCAAs for somebody who particularly is in, say, a calorie deficit, you're trying to preserve the muscle that you have so you can keep your metabolism elevated, so you're able to burn more calories while you're burning body fat or while you're trying to drop a few dress sizes or reduce your body fat, then BCAAs are going to be tremendously worth the money because they're going to help you preserve the muscle that you have. They're going to help keep that metabolism up so that you're not losing muscle mass as you train because you're in a calorie deficit. So for somebody in that context, branched chain amino acids are going to be tremendously beneficial. If you train in a fasted state, for example, I'm currently training fasted because I'm trying to condition my body to train in a fasted state for when I run through the Sahara Desert next year, because that's effectively how I'll be training, so I'm trying to mimic that now. So I would not step foot in the gym without branched chain amino acids or leucine right now, because I need something that's going to help preserve the muscle that I have while I'm training in a fasted state. However, if you're in a calorie surplus and you've got an amazing amino acid profile from the foods that you're eating, and you're eating a lot of complete proteins, all the essential amino acids that your body needs, branched chain amino acids are leucine, isoleucine, and valine. They're three of the essential amino acids, which means that your body can't make them by itself. You need to get them from food or supplements. If you're in a calorie surplus and you're getting all the BCAAs that you need, you're probably going to be better off spending your money on something else. Now, personally, I love the Charlie Munger quote that he says, you should never argue an opinion on the opposite side unless you can argue it better than the people who hold that side. And that's kind of how I feel about branched chain amino acids. I can see the people that hate on it and think it's expensive flavored water, and I can see on people who think it's the best thing since sliced bread. I kind of fall somewhere in the middle. I think it's very much dependent on each person's goals. It depends on your nutritional strategy and then finding what works for you. Your training program is also going to have a massive impact on whether you benefit from branched chain amino acids. If you're just going into the gym doing a basic 3x8 workout and you've got a good nutritional strategy and you've got a good whey protein after, which is very naturally highly occurring in branched chain amino acids, you're probably not going to need to benefit, or you won't massively benefit from adding them into your supplement regimen. You'd be better off spending your money on something that's going to support you more. However, if you're working for a lot of tension, which is effectively how I normally train, where you're tearing a lot of fibers down during workouts, then you're going to benefit massively from having that extra leucine, which is the powerhouse amino acid, and branched chain amino acids to speed up your recovery. If you're a powerlifter going in doing your 3-4 reps and then resting for 5-6 minutes, you're probably not going to tear enough fibers down that's going to justify taking your branched chain amino acids. If you're doing a lot of finishers, on the other hand, where you're tearing fibers down through elevating your heart rate with plyometrics or kettlebells or high volume training, then again, your branched chains will come back into play. So there's a lot of factors in your training program and the kind of program you're following to determine whether you're going to get the benefit from branched chain amino acids. There's no right or wrong answer. It's going to come down to the nutritional plan you're following. It's going to come down to the training program that you're on, and then deciding whether branched chain amino acids are going to be worth the money for your investment. But there is no one size fits all. If there was a one size fits all, then everyone would use branched chain amino acids, or nobody would use branched chain amino acids, and it wouldn't be a debate. So it's a case of looking at your nutrition, seeing what your protein intake is, looking at your training plan, seeing how many fibers you're tearing and how high your intensity level is, how much training you're doing, and then making the decision, are branched chain amino acids going to be worth the money? Okay, next question comes in from Shaney Fitz on Snapchat. You said you couldn't live without a good probiotic. What one do you use? So this is always a funny question that I get from people, because anytime I get asked on my Snapchat Q&As, which I try and open Monday to Friday, people will ask probably at least once or twice a month, what are the supplements you couldn't live without? And generally, people think I'll say something like whey protein or a good protein powder or branched amino acids or creatine. And it's not. It's a probiotic or an omega-3. They're normally the two supplements that I personally wouldn't like to live without. And a probiotic is just a supplement that can help put back the good bacteria into your stomach that you may be lacking from your nutrition or from being on antibiotics. Probiotics are what you take to put the good bacteria back in from antibiotics, which can take a lot of the good bacteria out of your stomach. And one of my mentors used to always say to me that it's not about what you eat, it's about what you absorb. And I spoke in my book, The Fitness Mindset, in the nutrition section, that it's probably a combination of both. It's the foods that you eat, but it's also about what you absorb. If you eat a really good piece of chicken that has 30 grams of protein, if you're only absorbing 10 grams of that, then you're wasting 20 grams because your digestion hasn't been good. However, if your gut bacteria is good and your digestion is good, you're going to be able to absorb all the vitamins and minerals and nutrients that are in those foods, which is going to improve your energy levels, it's going to improve your body composition, it's going to make you feel so much better. So one of the reasons that I couldn't live without a probiotic or some variation of a probiotic, I also ferment kefir and different probiotics in apple juice, so I'll use that as a probiotic as well. And one of the reasons I couldn't live without it is because I always want to absorb the nutrients and vitamins and minerals from the foods that I'm eating. So if I had to choose, even over muscle building supplements or traditional fat burning supplements, I would always choose a probiotic just to make sure that the foods that I am eating are getting digested well, so they're giving me the energy, they're giving me the recovery, they're helping repair the muscle fibers that I'm tearing down, and I'm getting all the benefits from the foods that I'm eating. The brand that I use at the minute is, I use the Super 8 Gold by Udo's Choice or the Renew Life probiotics. But again, it's not a case of use this one, it's the best one, because different strains and different bacteria that are in different probiotics are going to give you different benefits. So it's a case of finding which one fits into your budget, which one is working very well for you, and then doubling down on that. The one piece of advice I would offer, and it's very, very similar with omega-3, they are the two supplements, probiotics and omega-3, that I say generally don't ever cheap out on, because you can get very, very, very cheap alternatives to them and you will get what you pay for. Things like branched amino acids, creatine, you're largely paying for brand, so I would always go with the cheapest. But with probiotics and omega-3, you're going to pay for the quality. So find one within that 20, 30, 40, 50 euro range that works well for you, that works into your budget, and then double down on using that. As I said, I use Renew Life or the Udo's Choice, but I'm not saying they're necessarily the best ones. They're just the ones I'm using currently and find them very, very good. Okay, next question comes in from Kindog Lamar. How can I give up the drink until Christmas? So this is something I know a lot of people are doing in the month of November, where they're going November, where they're giving up cigarettes or they're giving up alcohol or both, or they're giving up something until Christmas time or until at least the end of the month. So there's a couple of tips that I'm going to share on this podcast that will hopefully help with anyone that's looking to give up drink for the month of November or give it up until Christmas. What happens sometimes when you give up something like drink, which is effectively intangible, is it's very, very hard to continually give it up every weekend when everyone is going out, because you can't tangibly or physically see any progress except for the fact that your body composition might be changing. So one of the things that I love doing when I'm trying to give up, and I used to do this when I was giving up alcohol for months at a time, and I still do it when I'm trying to give up something that's intangible, is all the money that you would potentially be saving from going out, I would factor in how much you normally spend on a weekend and then put that money physically into a jar somewhere that you can see. Because what happens is your brain starts making the association of an intangible thing to something tangible, something you can see and touch, and you start to see that, okay, I'm building up money and my jar is getting fuller and fuller and fuller every single week, and this is money that I would have been spending in the bar, I would have been spending in the club. Now what happens is you start to physically see something that's moving up or improving, and you end up using that money then at the end. So I would have an end goal, either to have a massive blowout at Christmas, if that's your scene and what you're into, or something else, a ticket to a game or a holiday away or something else, a PS4 or an Xbox, whatever it is that you're putting money aside for. start seeing that physical jar build up money every single weekend that where you would have normally been spending it out can help keep you staying on track long term, because you're moving the intangible into the tangible. That's one of my personal tricks. Whenever I'm trying to give up something that I can't physically see or touch, I will put my money aside, and I normally deal a lot and pay with card. I don't normally carry a lot of physical cash with me, but there's times when I'm doing something like that, I will take out the physical 50 euro or 60 euro, 150 euro in the case of alcohol and drinking. That's what I used to normally spend at weekends, and I put it into a jar so every single week I could see that building up, and it keeps it a lot easier to stay off long term. The other little tip I'll offer there is make sure that you spend your weekends or whenever your normal habitual drinking time would be doing something else more productive that takes your mind off it. So one of the hardest things is when you're used to going out every Saturday night is sitting in for the first two or three weekends because you feel really, really bored. So what I would advise you do is either set up an alternative scheme that you do where you go to your friend's house or you watch movies or Netflix or you chill or you hang out with your girlfriend or a girl or a guy you're seeing. Something that takes you out of that boredom position where you start to have temptation to go out. Like if you don't want to slip, don't go to slippery places. So normally when you're trying to give up drink, assuming that you've been drinking every single weekend, if you're going out every weekend and seeing everyone get drunk around you, it can be very, very tempting to jump on that bandwagon. By all means, some people will go out and drink water and feel great and they feel like they're not missing out on anything. And if that's you and that's what's working, then do that. But for other people, just being in the scene and being in the habitual place of the bar and the club you're in every weekend can start to conjure up all those physiological or mental cravings that you would normally have of feeling happier or feeling a little bit merrier or feeling a little bit drunk in that bar, and before you know it you have a drink and then you have five and then you have six and then you fall off the wagon. So my advice would be is to fill up that time with something else. So again, don't want to sip, don't go to sippy places. Start coming up with a new routine on your Saturday nights or your Friday nights. So that's what you do. You go to the cinema or you go to your friends or you hang out with a girl or a guy you're seeing. Do something else that replaces that time of going out just until Christmas, and then be very, very safe in the knowledge that you're going to have an incredible Christmas because you said you were going to do something and you did it. Confidence comes in all areas of life from setting a goal or saying you're going to do something and then following through and doing it. Step by step you get ahead. Day by day you get ahead. Weekend by weekend you get ahead. It's not about focusing till Christmas, because when you focus so heavy on the end goal of, oh my God, I've got another 6 weeks or 7 weeks or 5 weeks or 3 weeks, it can be too daunting. Whereas if you just go, right, I'm just not going out this weekend, and you take it every single weekend as you go along, and that's the same for everything. That's the same for workouts. That's the same for meals. That's the same for jobs or building a career or building a life or relationship. It's step by step, rep by rep, weekend by weekend. You chunk it down to make tasks a lot easier to follow through on than just focusing on the big picture. And then when you use those strategies, like having your tangible money jar or replacing the habit by spending time or doing something else on the time you'd normally be going out, and then just taking it every single weekend, then that's how you set yourself up for long-term success in all areas of life, but particularly if it's just on giving up drink until Christmas. And so I hope that helps, and best of luck with it. Okay, that's everything from today's episode. So massive thank you for listening. For more information on my Top 50 program or my GA Lean Body program, head over to the website, www.briankeyfitness.com. My best-selling book, The Fitness Mindset, is available on Amazon, The Book Depository, and Dubry's, all Dubry's bookstores in Ireland. And my Snapchat, BrianK019. My YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram is all Brian K Fitness. So be sure to head over there, subscribe, follow, and like. And I'll see you all guys in another week. And thank you for listening. Catch you all soon.